Good evening. I call this November the 5th meeting of the Planning Commission to order. My name is Darrell Boziger. I am the chairman of the Planning Commission and it is my pleasure to welcome you here tonight. This is a public meeting and you are encouraged to be part of the process. Please participate, ask questions, share your thoughts. We have several rules to help us proceed with an orderly meeting and I ask you to keep them in mind. Turn off your cell phones and if you need to make a call, please step out of the chamber. When you wish to speak, raise your hand. I'll recognize you and ask you to come to the podium. Secretary Jones must record who you are, so please state your name, spell your last name, and state your address. Keep your remarks brief, about 3 minutes, so others have an opportunity to speak. However, focus on your comments and we'll try to keep track of your minutes. This meeting is being conducted in accordance with the Nebraska Open Meetings Law. Copy of the Open Meetings Law is at both exits. I will now call for a roll call of members.
Boziger?
Here.
Haleska?
Here.
Pound?
Here.
Kading?
Here.
Huber? Radner?
Here.
Schroeder?
Here.
Boswell? Heinrich?
Here.
I'd like to get the approval of the minutes from the October 1st, 2024 meeting.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Motion by Schroeder, second by Heinrich to approve their minutes. Is there any modifications or amendments? Please vote.
Commission members present voting aye. Pound, Radner, Schroeder, Boziger, Heinrich, Haleska, abstaining, Kading.
Thank you. I will open a public hearing to consider a conditional use permit renewal application submitted by Big Truck and Trailer Sale LLC, Post Office Box 531, Blair, Nebraska, to continue the use of truck sales, both new, used, and salvaged, on tax lot 66 in Section 27, Range 18 North, Range 11 East of the 6 p.m., Orson County, Nebraska, Berry Hill Road, for 99 years. Jeff.
Good evening, Chair Boziger and committee members. Your first consideration of tonight is the CEP renewal for Big End Trucking, located outside of our ETJ on Highway 30, on the way to west of City Blair. Property is 1/4 mile into the ETJ. Current zoning is ag, AGG. Last business use permit was issued in 2002 for 22 years for being the Truck Box Incorporated. Michael Schnelli and Big Truck Sales became the owner on December 1st, 2023. There was a CUP, conditional use permit transfer at that time, and with the date being for renewal of November of 24. Because it isn't ag, truck sales, both new and used salvage yards are an exception, which means they do have to have a conditional use permit. When this is done for the stipulation that there be trees planted and a DEQ permit for moving dirt at the time was pulled. I'm not sure if that DEQ permit needs to be renewed or it's just for the movement of dirt on the 5 acres. We will find that out. If it is so, then we'll know before the city council meeting that that might be a stipulation. And last spring, the Schnellys did plant 67 trees along their berm. This shows a bigger portion, kind of a locator map on South Highway 30, showing their location right here. Here's a closer map right there, Highway 30. This is a borough pit on the outside. This is the Washington County City Yard or County Yard at that point there. Their address of Big End Truck is 8830 Berry Road. Here's the zoning for it. It is zoned ag, surrounded by ag. We have some highway commercial creeping up toward city limits. Then, of course, it gets into residential. Here's a view of it again, looking southwest. This is looking from the corner of Berry Hill Road, Highway 30. This is another shot of Highway 30 as it runs up along the southeast side of the company. A couple of different views. This view right here is going northbound on Highway 30. Realize you just see the berm. This next view is basically looking right across at their truck sales that they have on display. And with that, any questions for staff on this renewal?
Can you go back to the picture where you show the property from above? I'm not exactly sure what this all entails. I couldn't tell quite from what I saw. Is it all the way down to where it's down the road, right?
Yeah, so everything within the orange hash marks are the property of
The hash marks. Yeah. Okay, thanks.
And they've got a berm here and the trees they planted, and they are here tonight, so they can answer better, yeah, where they planted the trees. The entrance is here off of Berry Hill Road.
Okay. Any other questions?
I have a question. I see that they're asking for a 99-year renewal. Is there when each applicant comes in, do they suggest a certain amount of time they're asking for?
We usually try to advise and leave it up to them. I was not in when they came in. Obviously, I think they know that time can go down, time constraints can go down, but they never can go beyond. So if he would ask for 10 years and council or planning commission would say, 2025 would be better. That's not permissible. But if you ask for 99 and you say 25, 30, that's entirely up to planning commission and city council. It's well within the right to do. So a number up there might be what they would like, not necessarily what they might get.
Okay, thank you.
And they know that, by the way, too. We talked about that.
Okay.
Any more questions? Thank you. Is the applicant here? Would you like to come up and speak to this? We may have some questions up here.
Mike Schnelle, S-C-H-N-U-E-L-L-E.
Address?
House address or 8803 Berry Hill Road is the business.
Does it matter if it's business address?
Business address is fine, yeah.
Business address is fine. So, is there questions of the applicant? Go ahead, Neil.
Okay, so you planted some more trees.
Yep.
Tell me about the size of the trees and the types of there.
Just little cedar trees.
Little cedar trees.
Yeah, okay. We planted pine trees before and then we did it twice. They didn't last but 5 years each time, so.
That's what I was wondering. I know. And
yeah, we did it twice and I don't want to do that again. Yeah.
Okay. Right. I don't know how to.
Do you mind us not having 99 years, because that's a very unusual number, a very long time?
That's just
okay.
Yeah.
Okay, no more questions of the applicant. Was there any written stuff? Okay. Is there anyone else on here like to speak on this issue? Please step forward. Seeing none, I'll close the public hearing and see what the commission would like to do.
I'll make a motion to accept it, but have a 25-year length time.
Motion is made to accept the CUP with a 25-year length. Is there any second to that?
I'll second it.
So a motion by Schroeder, second by Pounds, to approve this for 25 years. Is there any other amendments or questions? Seeing none, please vote.
All commission members present voting aye.
So I'll go to City Council in 3 weeks. I'm going to open a public hearing to consider a conditional use permit renewal application submitted by Keith Mattson, 2402 Lincoln Street, Blair, Nebraska, to allow the continued use of a contractor yard with material storage on 10 feet of vacated State Street adjacent to the east 40.2 feet of Lot 1 and 40 by 80 feet of vacated 11th Street, Block 21, City of Blair, Washington County, Nebraska, 1101 State Street, for 25 years. Jeff.
Thank you, Ben. So the second conditional use permit application renewal comes from Mr. Mattson. He is located at 1101 State Street. Right here. north of that railroad tracks in this section of Blair. Property is located north of the downtown along 11th Street, 11th State Street, basically the T intersection. Current zoning is AML, a light industrial. That whole block along State Street south of there is AML, while north of State Street is residential. Building was permitted. There's a structure on the property right now that was permitted in October of 2021. It has since been completed. The reason he is here for, or they are here for, a CUP is that while a contractor yard is a permitted use in AML, anytime it is within 500 feet of a residential district, it does need a conditional use permit, a CUP. With residents being residential across the street, that's well within 500 feet. The first conditional use permit was granted in 2014 for 10 years with the stipulations, and it was transferred to Mr. Massive when he acquired the property in 2017. They did sign a transfer conditional use permit with the notice that it would be coming up for renewal in November of 2024. On the stipulations back in that time, hours, and which still exists by the way, hours of operation were limited from 10 a.m. to 8 p.m. A 6-foot wooden privacy fence with a chain link gate with privacy slats was to be installed. They were to plant city approved trees in the right of way, apply an armor coat of asphalt, cement, or some sort of magnesium chloride at least twice a year to keep down the dust in the area. In February of 2023 and later, we did receive several complaints about operations outside of their operating time. Mr. Matson was informed of the issues. This went on for just a short while. He did work on taking care of it. I've not heard many complaints, if any, within the last probably 9 months. We had a couple of issues with storage above one of his storage containers and out in the right of way. He did take care of that. This is the location again on 1101 State Street. Of the property here, there's our 6-foot wooden fence, there's our building. Here's a view from the other side showing 6-foot wooden fence and the trees. He would have to answer the question if he's continuing with the dust control systems. We are unable to monitor that. View from up above, property here, obviously residents over there, Conoco or Azteca on here. We have a duplex here, a house here. They are in AML. They are non-conforming, but they were there from the before zoning, and they still exist as non-conforming structures. However, they are still residences. Again, showing the zoning, everything south is AML, everything north is RML, residential. There's the property right there in the hash marks. With that, any questions for staff on this?
I have one question.
Yes, sir.
With concrete equipment being right next door, or Aztec, do they follow the same like requirements as far as like hours and such?
They have their own separate conditional use permits for their buildings. I am unaware of what their conditions are. Okay. I cannot tell you that. I can find out and I'll let you know. I am unaware of what the CUPs for Aztec, and there's several buildings. Every time one goes up within 500 feet of the different use, they would probably have to look into that, plus they'll have renewals.
Gotcha. Thank you.
So the only place you've had is that that complaint back in 2023, and you've taken care of it,
yeah,
and there's nothing
there's
since then.
There's about a 3 or 4 month period where there were some, I received some emails and phone calls. We addressed it. Mr. Matson at times said they were going to work on it. I've heard nothing since then. I've gotten no phone calls about this issue since the notices went out. I did put a second sign out. Our first sign disappeared, but we did get a second sign out relatively quick. So everybody in the neighborhood has been notified of it. I believe we received nothing in the mail, according to Ms. Jones.
No, nothing. Any more questions, staff? Thank you. Is Mr. Matson here to like to speak on this?
Yeah. Keith Mattson, M-A-T-Z-N. So I did see...
Spend your address also.
Oh, 1101 State Street. I did notice that the hours are 10 a.m. till 8 p.m. Well, we do concrete. So we start at 6, 7 o'clock in the morning. So I don't see why we can't get that changed from 7 till 8. But other than that, that's all I want to know.
Anything else? Okay. Thank you.
All right, thanks.
I do.
Oh, I'm sorry. You have a question.
So what kind of heavy equipment do you, are you like just pickups? Are we talking trucks or
tractor, what? Backhoe, little equipment, stuff like that.
Minis and stuff like that?
Yeah.
Okay. So, I just thought we had big heavy machinery or concrete trucks or like that going out of there.
My biggest tractor is 12,000 feet or 12,000 pounds. So it's just a little tractor.
Hi. I just wanted to say Michaela Mattson, M-A-T-Z-E-N, 2402 Lincoln Street. He does not, his jobs are not located at 1101 State Street. That's where he keeps his equipment. So he will either load up the night before or the morning of to go to his jobs. He doesn't perform jobs there. It's just more of a storage place where he keeps all of his equipment if it's not at a job that he's doing. If that makes sense.
Every time I drive by there, it's always looks good, clean, well kept.
Try to keep it.
Okay. Thank you. Anything else? Is anybody in the audience like to speak on this issue? Come on, please.
Good evening. I'm Melissa Rice, R-A-C-E. I live at 1060 State Street. We are catty corner from the yard. We were present for the first conditional use permit, and we were among those who requested that the privacy fence be put up, that tree plan be incurred, and we were also here when they set up the operating hours from 10 a.m. to 8 p.m. Initially, our experience with Mattson's was pretty good. We didn't have any complaints in terms of their operations. Within the last several years, though, I don't know what has happened, but we've had a lot of issues in terms of working outside of their permitted hours, with noise, with the behavior of employees on a residential street. I have talked many times via email with Mr. Bierman regarding our situation with the yard. I can tell you that things were not resolved as of February of last year, because I started keeping a list in the summer of last year. So I can just kind of briefly go through some of these, and I can provide them to you later if you would like. On August 5th at 12:30 a.m., there was a noise. We had to call the police. August 7th, 10:30 p.m., there was a noise because they were doing blower work. August 8th at 6:47 a.m., they started to work. Remember, the conditional use permit is 10, and most businesses start at 8. August 13th at 10:41 p.m., loud noise and burnouts with their trucks on the street. August 14th, started work at 7:18 a.m. August 16th, 6:42 a.m. August 18th, 7:49 a.m. The last one I happen to have on the list goes into September. And again, 11 p.m. On the September 13th of last year, there was a lot of shouting and burnouts on the street. There's at least one truck, possibly two. I assume that they are younger gentlemen. I don't know if they're related to the Mattsons, but they frequently use their diesel trucks to do burnouts when the job is over with. This is a residential street. There are children on the street. There are grandchildren on the street. There are people who are walking dogs. It is not acceptable for that kind of behavior. We have also had to call the police because of their trucks blocking the intersection at 11th and State Street. That impaired vision for traffic that would be coming on 11th Street or going across State Street. This is a bus route, so they're blocking any kind of access or sight line of sight vision is a safety hazard. I will say this, I am perfectly in understanding of their desire to change their operating hours to an earlier time. 10 a.m. Does seem a little bit ridiculous for me. And despite all of the things that I've found complaints with them, I actually can give them credit for 8 a.m. would seem like a more reasonable operating hour. But they're also supposed to stop at 8 p.m. and that has not always happened. The equipment does have backup alarms. There's a lot of grinding and scraping and everything else. So when they're not there, they're really great neighbors when they're on the job site. But getting ready or when it's after hours, the behavior of their employees is less than satisfactory. And again, I'm concerned about safety on that street. And also, we like to have them as good neighbors. And it's kind of been a little shaky in the last couple of years.
Any questions of the witness? Thank you.
Thank you.
Yes, come forward.
Bill Price, PHILLIPRICE, 110600 State Street, directly diagonal from where the business in question is at. The biggest concern that I have, and the wife brought it up as well, there is a real problem with line of sight at that intersection. We are a block and a half away from the schools. There are a lot of kids that use this street. It is a bus route. Every day, buses go down, coming to and going from. Unfortunately for them and all concerned, the parking here is horrible. Is this a pointer?
Yeah.
Okay.
Top of the point. Hopefully I can. Yeah, top of the.
Okay. Fire hydrant right here. One of the comments that I had heard here a couple weeks back was in regards, don't park too close to the fire hydrant because you'll get called on that. That's not the reason I'm calling.
No, talk to the council first.
The reason, well, I heard them say that and I was answering.
Yeah, you talk to us.
Understood. Thank you, sir. The biggest problem that I have is that when you have vehicles parked along the north side of State Street, which is a parking zone, and you have vehicles parked here on the west side of 11th Street, any kids or traffic coming from this direction cannot see anything going down this street. Likewise, anybody coming down the street cannot see stuff over here. Something needs to be looked at that from a public safety aspect because of line of sight. That's my biggest point. And unfortunately for them, it's just because of the way the streets are designed, you know, and trying to have a business there. I mean, it's bad for them, but I believe it's a potentially deadly situation for a kid. And like I said, with where I live at, I can tell you the number of kids that use that sidewalk daily. It's a lot. And with that view problem right there, that needs, in my opinion, to be addressed. And unless anybody has any other questions, I'm done. Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Ma'am.
Is there anyone else who would like to speak on this issue? Seeing none, I'll close the public meeting and see what the commission would like to do. I guess I have a question. Because of the Phil or Jeff, because of their talking about line of sight and stuff, who does that? Is that the, so I just have to go to, someone has to go to the council on that?
Or Jeff Harvey, Community Development Director. That would be a public works issue. I'm not sure if that applies so much to this conditional use permit.
Right.
As in, if there's none of their equipment on that side of the street or blocking that. That would go to Public Works. We will let Public Works know tomorrow. Maybe a police issue, but we will consult with both the Blair PD and Public Works to see if there's an issue there.
Yeah, okay. The other question I had is, you had all the stipulations in the original one.
Yes.
I assume this CUP would continue all those stipulations.
If that's the recommendation of the committee, that would be totally up to you to decide if you want to continue that or if you want to maybe... like Ms. Rice said, allow earlier hours. You can keep the stipulations as stated, you can amend, you can do whatever you want to do, as this is a renewal, kind of starting over point.
Yeah, okay, thank you. So what does the commission like to do?
I'll make a motion to approve it, with the exception, I think we need to address the hours. Personally, I think 7:30 is probably a good start time. It's kind of a bit of a compromise. I mean, I understand that he's going to get started early, but at the same time, you can't go too early. I mean, you're going to start having bus traffic and stuff through there between 7:30 and 8 anyway. So,
bus traffic is probably around 8 o'clock.
Between 7:30 and 8, right? I mean, the bus is going out if it's a bus route, so.
I'd second it. Motion to second it.
Okay, so we have
their recommendation.
We have a motion by Pound, seconded by Radner to approve this with a change in the hours to 7:30 in the morning, still the same 10 o'clock at night.
No,
8 o'clock.
It's 8 o'clock. I'm sorry. Yep. Yeah, 8 o'clock at night. Sorry. Good, thank you. Is there any other amendments to the, or is there any amendments to that motion? Seeing none, let's vote.
All commission members present voting aye.
So it'll go to the city council in 3 weeks, the final stuff. Okay, I'll go, let's see, where's my next one on here? Oh. I will open a public hearing to consider an ordinance amending the City of Blair Zoning Regulation Article 10 by adding Section 1010 SMH Special Mixed Use Heavy Industrial District, SMH, as an overlay district intended to accommodate unique land use and other distinctive characteristics existing in the AMH Agricultural Heavy Industrial and Manufacturing District. Jeff?
Yes, sir. We would like to have a committee table this until next planning commission meeting.
Well, this is number
is
six.
This number six?
Six.
Oh, sorry. Anyway, skip that. Number six.
Yeah.
We can do that too.
Sorry about that. Is the special overlay a bunch of our special districts that we have in section 10. This is another overlay district that's kind of crafted to work with the marina and restaurant and the mobile home park. In that AML district. And we're talking about this area. Yeah, I apologize for jumping ahead. So the intent of this overlay district is to really kind of work with both of those longtime businesses in the AML or AMH heavy industrial, trying to come into a consensus and how to help them with their grandfather rights, but still get the underlying zoning changed and the future zoning changed. So, with this addition of the Special Mixed Heavy Use Industrial District, SMH, what this would allow through a conditional use permit would be allowed restaurants and associated parking, excluding drive-ins, and that would be right now the marina. They would have to apply for a conditional use permit if this is passed and overlaid in the future. And then, of course, the Long's Mobile Home Park and mobile homes, they would still have to follow Section 1001, which spells out all of the rules for having a mobile home park, but they would also have to apply for a conditional use permit to allow them to use mobile home park while this has been changed to both heavy industrial on the future and on the present. Right now, here's the zoning, shows everything else is heavy industrial. The marina has already been zoned heavy industrial, zoned for future land use is heavy industrial, and several months ago it was changed for the present. No, it was the future was commercial, the present was AMH or H, so that was taken care of with some corrections. This does show the two properties. There is the marina, there is the mobile home park. So again, this is just another, I know you get tired of me seeing tools, but this is just another tool that we can add to the overlay. And if it's ever needed again in some sort of area that's already been zone and heavy industrial would come in handy. But we think this might be the only area that's needed at this time. This again allows, if it's put into place, and it is put in place as an overlay in the future time, will allow both the mobile home park and the marina to have some more assurances that they're able to run not only through grandfather rights, but through a special use permit granting them the use of their properties to be used as is. Any questions?
If we adopt this overlay with the mobile home park, because they've been talking about moving older ones in, putting newer ones in, are they going to have to get a special use permit to rehab that? Because that's what they've been talking about.
Once, if this is put into place and it is adopted here and then later on put into place as their conditional use permit, they will still have to follow all of the rules on their mobile home park, which is that 1001. So there are several rules in there, and condition, size, has to be
size, years, everything.
Years, everything has to be skirting. Yeah. I believe they have 37 spots now. If they wanted to expand beyond those 37 spots, they would have to come back and get permission. But currently they have 37 spots, maybe less than 10 or so mobile homes.
I guess maybe simplify the question. If they do everything that they need to, if they want to pull out an older trailer, put a newer one, they can do that. They don't have to come and get a
The one CUP will cover that. They will, however, get a permit through the building department and comply with those.
Question on the restaurant. What do they have to do now?
Right now, they are just following what is in the 1001, the mobile home park regulations.
So is this putting more restrictions on them?
Nope, this is just going to guarantee them and any sort of investors or banks or anything else that once this all changes for the underlying zoning, which is really what we want to do as a city, to have it ready to go as heavy industrial if it ever gets sold. This just gives both Marina and the mobile home park and any banks or investors, insurance or anything like that, proof that there is a special use permit, that they've been granted permission to continue this, not only through not necessarily through the non-conforming use. It will have a conforming use because it will be by special use.
Okay, but that doesn't change the fact that if it's damaged more than 50%, it's done.
Actually, that will change.
Okay,
through that's special use permit.
That's what I'm getting to.
Yeah, there will no longer be non-conforming once the base zoning and future zoning is applied.
But Jeff,
yes,
just to clarify that, this doesn't change that. They'll have to come get the conditional use permit. So there is another step that they have to do now.
The conditional use permit does.
But then it makes them compliant with the zoning and no longer non-conforming.
Perfect.
And in talks with the Long's lawyer, they're ready to go forward with that once everything is in place, and it will be applying for that shortly.
One thing I've often been kind of confused, I shouldn't say confused, but now that we create this ordinance, someone could actually put this overlay somewhere else in the city if they want to, right? Because it's an ordinance already.
It will be an ordinance, and you as in the community and council would certainly put it, approve it in another place in the city, as long as that zoning was heavy industrial. At this point, I don't think there are any other existing non-conforming structures or future non-conforming structures. That's not to say in the future it might not happen. It could be another restaurant. It's hard to say what the future holds.
Yeah.
But, this is another tool to use later on if ever is needed.
Okay. Any more questions, staff? Anybody from the audience like to speak on this issue? Seeing none, I'll close the public hearing and see what the commission would like to do.
Make a motion to accept as presented.
Second.
The ordinance has been approved. So, motion by Pleska, second by Schroeder to accept the ordinance as presented. Any further discussion? Please vote.
Commission members present voting aye. Pounds, Radner, Schroeder, Bozeger, Heinrich, Pleska, abstaining, Kading.
Okay. City Council, you will hear that in 3 weeks. Item number seven, I've been asked to have this meeting tabled to the next meeting. It's an ordinance to adopt an updated zoning map. It's requested by staff. Is there anything to say about this, Jeff?
Yes, sir. Thank you. The reason we requested this to be a motion to postpone this till next time this meeting is in dealings with the Long's Mobile Home Park lawyer and everything else. We've kind of come, they're looking at the ordinance, everything's kind of coming together. We just wish to have a little bit more time so they can prepare to actually have the conditional use permit application ready to go. So that if this is adopted at the next meeting and then is adopted by, voted on and approved by council, they will be following right up that same meeting following this agenda item with their conditional use permit to give them some assurances that things will stay as is or as written. So that is the reason behind that. There's just more information out there. We think it'd be better to have everybody kind of in one boat and a little bit smoother transition.
So we need a motion to table this item.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Heinrich, second by Radner to table this item. Please vote.
Commission members present voting aye, Pounds, Radner, Schroeder, Bozeger, Heinrich, Paleska, abstaining, Kading.
Okay, so we'll have to visit this again next month. I'll open a public hearing to consider an ordinance of the City of Blair. Sorry, folks, they move this on the screen all the time. Nebraska, and annexing and extending the corporate limits of the City of Blair to include the real estate, which is generally described as all of Hollow Road in Section 14, Township 18 North, Range 11 East of the 6 p.m., Washington County, Nebraska, from the existing City of Blair city limits of Hollow Road at the west end to the existing City of Blair city limits at the east end, intersecting at U.S. Highway 75 in Section 13, Township 18, Northridge 11, east of 6 p.m., Morrison County, Nebraska, and all of County Road P35 in Section 13, Township 18, North, Range 11, east of the 6 p.m., Morrison County, Nebraska, from Hollow Road South, 35 miles, to intersection of the southwest and southeast corner of the said intersection in the northwest and the northeast corner of Section 24, Township 18, North, Range 11, east of the 6 p.m., Washington County, Nebraska, and tax lots 170, 167, 199, 200, 253, 256, 282, 283, 284, 285, and 288 in Section 13, Township 18 North, Range 11, tax lots 181, 243, 286, and 287 in Section 14, Township 18 North, Range 11, and tax lot 16 in Section 24, Township 18 North, Range 11, all east of the 6 p.m. in lots 3 and 4, Block 2, Oak Park, First Edition, a subdivision of Washington County, Nebraska. Jeff.
You need a drink of that.
I hope that's the last time you have to read that for a while. Thank you.
The mayor gets you.
So with the opening of Hollow Road that bypassed south of the city, we realized that we needed to start moving the city limits, not only to encompass Hollow Road so we can take care of it, but so we can also police it. But within that area, there is property that also probably does need to work with the expanding Blair footprint. So the area we were talking about, all those tax lots, are outside of city limits on the Hollow Road bypass area south of Blair proper. We won't go through that again. This is our current city limits right here. You can see it snakes along from Highway 30 over this up the hill north, back down what was now the bypass, over to behind by Anderson's and Baumgart's area, and then all the way across, and then down here to this area here, and it goes along Highway 75. The annexation we're talking about will change the limits, city limits from this area here, but we'll continue it on to this parcel there, up north, over here, grab these three lots here, around this area here, and then all of this area in here will now become within the city limits of Blair. Several parcels there, lots of tax lots, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 houses there, 6, 7, I think there's anything else in there at this point. Just needed because the city is growing, obviously, and of course we do need to bring that Hull Road bypass into city limits. Again, this shows all the different tax lots that you just got in reading all through here. This is part of the Oak Park position here. We have one small tax lot here. The actual house is on the outside, but this is land they own here. Because it is a section line, though, we debated whether or not do we want to split it up, or do we want to include, leave it separate and include that. It is a different section, so we decided the easier thing was to make it inclusive because of a different section. Just for quick reference, here's the current zoning in this area. And you can see it's already this parcel is zoned residential medium. The rest of this is zoned agriculture. This is our future zoning. Again, already zoned residential. This could become residential. This will be corrected. It has not been corrected yet, but the road east or north and south of the Hollow Road bypass will be commercial. And then we get down into residential in this area. The green areas is possible future park according to the future zoning map. So with that, any questions on annexation?
I just got a really minor question.
Yes.
This little parcel that, because there's a section line that's going into the city and the rest isn't, does that change their taxes very much? Are they going to get taxed a little more because they're in the city? Or?
Well, right now they're paying taxes on two separate lots anyway. Yes, that smaller lot will probably incur.
So it's already separate. So
it is. Okay. They'll probably incur a little more on that lot there. I'm not even sure it's a buildable lot. If they wanted to be in city, they could ask for voluntary annexation. They'll just wait. Yeah.
Thank you. Any questions of staff? Thank you, Jeff. Does anybody in the audience want to speak on this issue? Please forward me.
Roger Andres, and I live at 835 Pheasant Circle.
Well, please spell your spell your last name, please.
Andreasen.
Thank you.
Me and my wife own tax lot 283, tax lot 16, and we're not against annexation. But I want to chastise the city of Blair. They knew they was going to put that bypass in 29 years ago. They allowed a gas line to go to Cargill, put right in the way. That cost millions of dollars to move. When they designed the bypass, they could have moved it over 500 feet and avoided that. They also put a water line in 3 years ago across to a 12-inch line going from Waterworks Hill up to the standpipe. That is cut, no longer in use. There is a fire hydrant, or about where that ROW is, but it's clear up on the bank, 500 feet straight up. I suppose it's live from coming back from the standpipe out on the 133. And I assume those people that have houses in that annex area should expect city services. I don't think, and I'm pretty sure, they did not run water, sewer, gas under the new bypass to supply that area. So the new bypass will have to be tore up to do that. That's my thoughts. That was the poor planning for 30 years.
Thank you. Anybody else want to speak on this issue?
Dwight Dom. My last name is spelled D-A-M. My wife and I, Karna, are here to represent Jim Anderson, my father-in-law.
You have an address, please?
My address, we live in Northwest Washington County. I have a Hooper address. It's 19240 County Road 3.
Thank you.
Jim's tax, the clicker isn't here. I think you know where Jim lives, right up in this corner here. He sold 6 acres off to the Gateway Development, I believe, about 15 or 20 years ago. And the reason Jim's not here tonight, he's 90 years old, and this is kind of an emotional decision for him. So part of Jim's property is already north of his house. There's 17 acres, and that is already part of the city. That became part of the city in 2001. It's still pasture, but he paid city taxes on that. And so now the city wants to annex the remaining 30 acres of his property. And the way the city has it drawn out, the road would come from the top of the hill through that north 17 acres. And kind of under my advisement, he's tried to sell that property in the past for development and had no one interested in purchasing it. So now when the city comes to want to annex the rest of his property, it's a little difficult for him to understand why they want to annex that now, and his property taxes is going to go up because he'll be required to pay the 31-cent levy for the city, and then it will no longer be agricultural land, according to the county assessor, who I visited with today. It will go to residential, and so his taxes are probably going to go up $1,200 a year, really, for no extra value to him. The other part for him that is challenging to understand is when Gateway purchased that 6 acres to put in the road, why wasn't that annexed to the city at that time? Does anybody, do you have an answer?
Not, it would have to be a city would have to answer, not the Combining Commission.
It's the other part of that, and I'm waiting to get an answer, is when the city got grants and it's used taxpayer money for building that road, it's not part of the city. How does that work?
Thank you. Anybody else want to speak on this issue? Would the city like to respond to any of the things that have been brought up by these two gentlemen?
Yeah, hi, Phil Green, city administrator. I think it's working, Phil.
Yeah, it was working.
That's what
it was.
It's not like it's working, but.
Now it's not.
The lights aren't on at all. I can't really answer why the city didn't do things, multiple years ago. Wasn't part of those conversations and never heard really much discussion on it at all. I do know the parcel here that was purchased by Gateway was all part of the anticipation of the bypass going through. And at that point in time, there was the gas line that needed to get relocated. Unfortunately, it had to get relocated the second time. Is my understanding, but that was purchased at that point in time to help with that particular project for that gas line that goes through there. Again, why they decided at that point in time not to annex any of this, I can't really answer that either, as far as a real reason is concerned. In fact, it wasn't until we were about ready to open up the bypass that we were reminded by our police department that it's not in the city limits and they really can't, patrol it and do any enforcement along there. Both ends are in the city limits, but the path in between was not. And it really wasn't until then that I had come to my attention that, that's not in the city limits. So at that point in time, we talked with several of the committees on the council and talked about, what would be appropriate. You can't do flag annexation, so we couldn't just take the road right away. You had to take property on one side or the other of that. Obviously, if we were going to go south, bringing in all the parcels to the north just makes sense. It is areas that are kind of prime for development, even though they maybe haven't developed in the past. For those of you who sat on the Housing Advisory Committee, or you know, remember the presentation that we made, you know, this whole entire area was on the higher end of the scale for areas that are, you know, potential for good development. There's also some possibilities of further development going down County Road P35, and that would just lead to further, you know, potential development in the entire area. So no real strong reasons why, they just hadn't moved forward with it in the past. If you recall, even when we talked a little bit about the recommendations coming from the Housing Advisory Committee, in the past, the philosophy for annexation pretty much was when it got developed. And so when the platting took place, they would tend to annex that. Through the conversations with the Housing Advisory Committee, they felt like it would probably be beneficial to encourage growth if we were a little more proactive in bringing some parcels into the city limits. That does a couple things for us. Partly, it kind of puts potential developers on notice that, hey, you know, this is some land that's already in the city limits of Blair. Maybe it's an area that you might want to look at for potential development. It also resolves the whole issue of, is this area going to get annexed or not? Because sometimes you get into discussions early on with potential developers where they begin to say, well, we're interested, but only if you don't annex us. Well, that just doesn't work for the city long term from a development standpoint, especially the way we normally do development. So those are really about the only reasons why.
Thank you.
Yeah.
This is a zoning currently, right?
Yeah, it's all ag. All this area is ag. One of the things staff is continuing to talk about, we don't have a recommendation yet, but normally when lands come into the city limits, we'll be bringing to you at that same time, probably the same meeting, an ordinance that would change the zoning of those parcels to bring it into something that would be a little bit more conforming to being within city limits. Now keep in mind, any uses that are there continue to be grandfathered uses. So if it's undeveloped land, I know Mr. Anderson specifically has cattle that he grazes there. That can continue to happen even though it's in the city limits. But again, if as with any zoning use, if it's stopped for at least 12 months, then those grandfather rights go away. So he couldn't choose to not raise cattle on there for a year or over a year and then decide to bring them back in. That technically could be a violation of the zoning. But it's not intended to stop anybody from doing what they're doing right now until future development occurs, and they're going to be a part of that decision.
Well, I was just kind of curious why the gentleman suggested that they consider it developed rather than agriculture. Until we do that, change the zoning on there to something else, I wouldn't think it's considered developed.
Well, yeah, and again, obviously different governmental entities have their own unique roles. Yeah. The county assessor assesses based on the criteria that they have. I know one of the issues that used to be important up until I think it was 2023 was the issue of greenbelt for undeveloped land. And it used to be state statute that it had to be outside the corporate limits of a city in order to qualify for greenbelt. Legislature changed that again in 2023. So undeveloped land that's currently farmed can be in the city limits and can still qualify for greenbelt status.
Yeah.
Yes.
And then enlighten me, what will that do in terms of taxes and so forth?
The greenbelt status?
Yeah,
it's just my understanding, and again, I'm not the expert on when it comes to this, but it allows a lower valuation for that land that's being used for agricultural purposes than it would be normally. You know, normally land's supposed to be valued at least 90% or higher of its real market value. I think greenbelt status drops that down to 30% or something like that. I mean, it's a much lower percentage that they're allowed to do under state statute.
Thank you, Bill. Okay, so what would the commission like to do?
Chairman Bosinger, I think you saw the comment from the public.
Did I? I wasn't sure if I closed the public hearing. I didn't close it. Okay, come on, you can come up.
Sorry.
I forgot I didn't close it.
So I talked to Robin at the assessor's office today about the tax status. And so the 17 acres that Jim has now is zoned residential, but he gets it's valued at 75% of that residential property value. So I figured it out per acre. It's like $75 an acre that he pays for the 17 acres that's in the city now. The property that you want to annex is zoned agricultural, and so she can zone that or in as agriculture within the county. His property taxes on that is a little over $40 an acre. So when the other, when the current property, or I guess when the property that you want to annex comes into city limits, by statute, she is not able to zone that or tax that as agricultural property. It will be taxed as residential property with the 25% deduction that it, because it's being used agricultural. So it's going to go up from $40 to $70 an acre. So it's $30 on 30 acres is $1,000, and then he'll pay the extra 31 cents, 100 that the city property taxes is. So that's another, I can't remember what I figured it out to be, around $500. Don't quote me on that. So it's going to cost Jim $1,500 a year for you to annex his property. It'll allow him to still use it the way he has been, as long as the city allows. We've talked to Mr. Green about some of the things that he's allowed to do as an agricultural producer, like burning trees and some of those things that don't fit into the city ordinances. Because right now the city ordinance is you can burn twice a year in the spring and the fall. Where now Jim, he likes to keep his property cleaned up. As long as he can get a fire or a burning permit, he can burn anytime during the year, as long as it meets the local fire department's code. He will lose that right as it is right now. Once the city takes over that property, he'll have to follow all city ordinances. So I just wanted to clarify that. I mean, I've penciled it out. It's about $1,500 a year for Jim's property to be annexed.
Thank you. So, anyone else want to speak on this issue? Now I'll close the public hearing, see what the commission would like to do.
Make a motion we vote as presented.
What's that?
A motion that we just vote as presented.
A motion to vote on it and the ordinance as presented. Is there a second to that?
Second.
So motion by Kading, second by Radner to approve the ordinance as presented. Is there any amendments or discussion on this?
We have the first map back again that had kind of the cloudy area, what it saw was. That's good enough. Thank you.
Okay, Neil?
Yeah.
Anything else? Then let's vote on this, on the motion.
Commission members present voting aye. Kading, Pounds, Radner, Boziger, Heinrich, Poleska, voting nay, Schroeder.
Okay. The city council gets to debate this in 3 weeks, and you can talk, sir, you can talk to it on in 3 weeks to them. They're the ones that make the final decision.
One correction.
Phil, okay, okay.
The next city council meeting, the annexation will be presented to the council?
Yes, we decided to move this one up sooner simply because, because of it requires actual three readings by the council. There's only three more meetings for them before the end of the year. And so we moved this one up till next week.
So it'll be next week then?
Be next week and then the following 2 weeks.
In the third week. Following two. Good. Okay. I'll open. Oops. I'll open a public hearing to consider voluntary annexation into the city of Blair by Easter Seals, Nebraska, 12565 West Center Road, Omaha, Nebraska, for tax lots 208 and 209 in Section 10, Township 18, North Range 11, east of the 6 p.m. Washington County, Nebraska. Yeah.
Thank you. For the next annexation, this is voluntary. This is requested by Easter Seals for their two tax lots on the western edge of the city of Blair. Unlike the previous item, a voluntary annexation does not need all three readings, but still needs to go through Planning Commission and City Council.
And it does need all three readings. It just doesn't need all the advertisement.
Oh, sorry.
And the public hearing and a bunch of other things that we did.
My mistake. It was doesn't need the entire. So anyway, the tax lots, Easter Seals, Nebraska, the tax lots 208 and 209. That would be these two lots right here. This hash line around this is already city limits. And this is that part off of Highway 91. The two lots that Easter Seals, Nebraska are looking to bring into the city are these two right here at the end of Creighton Boulevard, south of the former Dan campus, north of Highway 91. Again, this is existing city lines right here. This would be the inclusion of those two tax lots. Currently, it is already zoned residential RL for here, then residential up there. Future land use shows it being residential here, and a public quasi use for that area, which I think has to do with the data campus and all that. As we get through everything else, this may need to be going through some rezoning. But again, currently it's already zoned for residential and out of the ag district. Again, voluntary, one lot here, one lot there. Any questions for staff on this one?
What would that be rezoned as?
Well, a lot of them take a look at what the current zoning is now. If they need to be brought into the Transformation Hill PUD, then that overlay will just take the existing zoning and add that to the overlay. There were some parts of that overlay that were installed or written kind of for the Danic campus, and Easter Seals is kind of an extension of that. Of course, that'll have to be voted on, also. But it'd probably stay residential, not commercial. Most likely, but I can't say for sure that. Again, already residential right now.
Thanks.
So having a camp is permissible within a residential?
Through the overlay district, it may, but I have to look at the, I don't like to quote things without seeing them.
Yeah. Okay, got it.
So.
Any more questions of staff? Thank you. Is there anybody in the audience like to speak on this issue? Seeing none, I'll close the public hearing and see what the commission would like to do.
I move to accept this proposal.
Second.
Motion by Heinrich, second by Kading to accept the voluntary annexation as presented. Any further questions? Then please vote.
All commission members present voting aye.
So that'll go to the next council meeting also?
Correct.
Okay. I'll open a public hearing to consider and possibly take action on a redevelopment plan entitled Redevelopment Plan for the Blair Crossing Redevelopment Project. Yeah.
So the next two items have to do with the Blair Crossing Project. Before this can go to council, it needed to be requested to be looked at and examined by Planning Commission for their recommendation. So it complies with the comprehensive plan. Blair Redevelopment Plan, which is the resolution. Again, we're talking about Blair Crossing, which is the new platted area south of the roundabout on the south end of the city. This again is the plans for this Blair Crossing. series of apartments, four different apartments there, retail space there, working with Endor to have access points on Highway 31 from the west side here, and a little bit further down on 133 from the west side. Current zoning map shows it all already. Highway commercial, what fits in with the needed use, surrounded by highway commercial on the inside. Future land use map also complies with everything as it is now. One of the things, looking through the comprehensive book of the plan from 2015, I pulled out just one item, for example, and how this does fit in. You know, the first step in developing goals policies. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but I do want to highlight a couple of things here. Eight important elements in the town plan process: population, community image, land use, housing, infrastructure, public facilities, transportation, and circulation commercial. This project fits into all three of those fairly well. As we grow, we get more housing in, we get more commercial. This will probably really open up that part of Blair, not only on Highway 30, but going south on 133. A couple of areas I did highlight here, I think really also fit in with the comp plan. This Blair Crossing, you know, also obviously does the values of the community, encourages development to preserve and strengthen the city, put in different more apartments, more population, access to all of residents to have housing types. These will be different apartments. We have one, two, three different studio or apartment sizes for the bedrooms, entry level, but also support workforce development, population growth. And number six, you know, land use embodies, identifies the goals and policies with subdivision regulations. This, again, fits into that area. This plan, as I repeat myself third time, seems to fit really well with the comprehensive plan on our expansion for housing, business, just general welfare of the city. Any questions for staff?
Maybe I'm just not very up on the stuff, but what's different with a redevelopment plan versus a plats and final plats and that type of stuff? If I thought the same thing gets encompassed in this as a...
Well, I may need some help here from Mr. Green, but the plat is the actual use of the land. This has to do with financing.
The platting is the subdividing of all the properties. They happen to call this a redevelopment because, keep in mind, it's in a redevelopment district because it's been declared blighted and substandard. And so, therefore, it's eligible for redevelopment. It's all just statutory language.
This is for TIF.
So this is all for the TIF, for the tax increment financing.
I understand.
And so, therefore, it's the redevelopment plan that's being looked at tonight. Ultimately, there'll be a redevelopment contract that the redevelopment agency, if approved, then goes forward with. So that use of redevelopment all ties into the use of TIF.
Okay.
And one thing I wanted to mention too, you'll notice there's two different items on the agenda. This one technically is a public hearing, so we'll make our presentation, answer any questions that you may have. Oftentimes we'll do a public hearing as part of each individual item. This is simply listed separately, so it's a separate item as a public hearing because it's required by the statute, and then the very next item will be this issue for you to vote on. So it's in two different pieces, happens to be for this one, but it's really the same process that you normally go through with a public hearing and then vote. So when you get done with this one, Mr. Chair, once you're done, you can close the public hearing and then just move right on to the next item. Any questions, like Jeff said, for staff?
It's a public hearing. Anyone here like to speak on this issue in the audience?
My name is Heather Carver. That's C-A-R-V-E-R, and I'm with the law firm of Richards and Madden, and my address is 3555 Farnham Street, Suite 402, and that's in Omaha. The zip code is 68131. As I mentioned, I'm with the law firm of Richards and Madden. We represent the redeveloper, Metonic Real Estate Solutions, on this. Is this working?
It's as good as it's working right
now. I'll try to speak up a little bit on this redevelopment project. Metonic is a reputable developer in the Omaha and surrounding areas. developing multifamily housing communities. And they're very excited about the opportunity to partner with the City of Blair and to have a presence here in the City of Blair. They have projects throughout surrounding areas of Omaha. Examples are Pavilion, Elkhorn, Gretna, and
Trying to help.
So, as I mentioned, we're excited about being here. The reason that this is on the agenda is Matonic is seeking tax increment financing for this project. This site, as I understand it, has been targeted for development more than once before, but there are some obstacles to development of this site in particular, specifically the access along the highways there, and the topography is a little bit challenging in terms of having to do some mass grading, make sure that the drainage systems are able to accommodate the groundwater runoff, etc. And so for that reason, the project isn't feasible without using tax increment financing. So we're coming to the city for with that request. But as the city mentioned tonight, for the Planning Commission's purposes, the statute requires that the Planning Commission make a recommendation as to whether the project complies with the comprehensive plan. And so in preparing for tonight, you know, we looked at the comprehensive plan in terms of adding housing is one of the objectives to the comprehensive plan. Redeveloping vacant ground for additional housing and population growth are all within the scope of the objectives of the comprehensive plan. So I think you'll find that this meets a lot of those objectives and is you know, a project that Matonic's excited about and that we think will be a great project for the City of Blair. I'm happy to answer any questions, but we also have, you know, for any more specific technical questions, we have others from Matonic and representing Matonic here that can assist as well.
Kind of curious how, because I'm used to hearing about the TIF stuff. How long is the timing of the TIF? Is that been part of this plan?
So it's a 15-year tax increment financing period.
15?
15 years.
Okay, thank you.
Yep. And I didn't hit on that as much in my presentation just because that's under the statute, the Planning Commission's question is whether there's consistency in the comprehensive plan. You know, anyone from the city could speak to that as well.
Is this project hinted on the TIF money? I mean, is it the only way it's going to go through is if it's funded by TIF?
Correct. So the project as designed wouldn't be feasible without the use of TIF.
Okay.
And that's one of the requirements with TIF is that, you know, they demonstrate that they couldn't do it otherwise without the TIF support.
And there's many additional costs here, like I said, in terms of the topography, mass grading, figuring out access that will add up to where it's just not feasible for the developer to move forward unless we're able to get a TIF from the city.
All right, thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, one other thing I might just add, again, the 15 years is statutory, so that, you know, all TIF projects are 15.
Okay.
Now, again, the reality is they stipulate an actual dollar amount that ultimately gets approved by the council and the redevelopment agency. That's the maximum dollar amount then that they can draw down. And so depending upon what the ultimate valuation is, if we bring in enough TIF valuation that say that amount gets refunded in 13 years, then technically you can't go beyond that. We stop it. We notify the county assessor, and then they start redistributing then all the taxes that they would be paying at that time to all the other taxing entities. Again, with TIF, it's very important to understand it's not a reduction in the amount of tax they get to pay. They have to pay the full amount of taxes. It's just that increment between what's being collected right now and then what's going to be collected after the development is done, that increment is captured, sent back to the city. The city then uses that to help reimburse them for these costs. But those costs are all outlined up front. And again, that's the maximum dollar amount that ultimately they can get. Yeah, and the other thing I just wanted to reemphasize what Heather had said, you know, based on statute, you have a fairly limited role, and that is to look at the development and what they're planning to do and say, hey, does that fit with what the comprehensive plan calls for as good development within the city? We included the whole plan. If you've got questions about that, that's great. We can talk about those things. But it really isn't your specific role to evaluate the details of the plan. It really is more the end result of what we're going to get with this kind of development. And is that a good development for the city of Blair that's in keeping with the comprehensive plan? Yes, sir.
So what are we actually voting on? TIF money, or if this is in the comprehensive plan?
You're voting on this particular request for TIF money, which is a specific project, and whether that project is in keeping with the comprehensive plan.
Okay.
Thank you. Anyone else like to speak on this issue? Seeing none, I will close the public hearing. So we'll consider resolution 2024-2 recommending approval of the redevelopment plan entitled Redevelopment Plan for the Blair Crossing Redevelopment Project to the Mayor and City Council of the City of Blair. Do you want to make a motion on the resolution? Well, I guess then I will make a motion to approve, make a, consider, let's see, to recommend approval of the redevelopment plan. Send it to the City Council.
I'll second.
Motion by Bozinger, second by Kading, to send this resolution 2024-2 to the City Council. Is there any discussion or amendments?
No.
Well, let's vote.
All commission members present voting aye.
So that's 3 weeks, right?
No, next week.
Next week also.
This one does too, yeah.
Okay.
we'll try to give you a roadmap going forward so you know.
Yeah. Okay. Report from staff.
Nothing else for us to report on. Well, thank you.
Kept you long enough. So we've kept you long enough. Yeah.
I have to accept the motion to adjourn.
I'll take a motion to be done.
Second. I thought you were going to say second first.
You second it?
Kading. You're right.
Second by that. Or by Schroeder. All in favor? Or go ahead and vote.
I have to say aye.
Let's go. Let's go. Thank you, folks. Okay.